Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Wonderful to be with you tonight, and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening, everybody. Glad to be here, Jackie. How are you?
Good to be with you, darling. Tonight's show, good guys or bad guys? How do we know the difference, and how do we protect ourselves? Tonight we discuss the races that Jim Sparks talked about and that are also other races involved in our ascension process. And tonight, after we go through kind of our emails and stuff, Ronnie's going to play the investigator. So she's going to be asking questions, and I'm going to try to field as many answers as I can.
I'm just wondering, if we are in a race, why do we call ourselves the human race? Is that what we're doing?
Evidently. I know this lifetime we are. I wanted to share a couple of emails regarding the power retrievals because they're getting so powerful. And
boy, are they ever.
Yeah, we're having some amazing stuff with these. And, you know, folks, it's really about us becoming empowered so that we can move through this and move out of the collective soup. So I'm just going to share just the, excerpts from a couple of them, and we won't bore you to tears here. Feeling very much like I'm in a sense of mourning, a deep sadness has been over me all day, almost a feeling of what might have been. It seems that the hooks and corkscrews and planks that connected us kept my father alive for me in a constant fantasy. Like the child who finally realizes there is no Santa Claus, I am feeling betrayed by my own emotions and even a bit angry at all the energy I spent in my life on this fantasy called Father. In the session, I was impressed by all the light coming from his chakras once the retrievals were done. The most emotional chakra clearing for me was a third eye. It brought tears to my eyes and an immediate knowing inside that my father had held my power for me until I was truly ready to handle it. I'm not entirely sure what that means, but that is the message I was given. It made me cry. Another one, needed to write to you because of some things that have been happening with me since our last session. Where to begin? First, I became very maudlin. This may sound very strange, but I think I was mourning the loss of having my father as a whipping boy. You know, blaming him for everything that was wrong with my life, that sort of thing. He now no longer holds any of my power. I think at first that was quite a shock for me, and I was having difficulty letting go. And I just, you know, want to make the comment that it's interesting the sadness it seems that everybody goes through when we've been holding on to these beliefs about people in our lives, be they, you know, parents, children, lovers, whatever. When the story falls apart, there is a period of mourning that everybody goes through. And of course, a darling letter from our favorite squirrel. I want to answer some of these as we go through it because, as always, she's got great questions. Dear Jackie and Ronnie, Jeepers the Keepers, a fascinating book, and I truly enjoyed hearing Jim Sparks again as he explained more of his encounters with the alien races. Of course, it leaves me with more questions than answers, some of which are, are abductions primarily about preserving the integrity of Earth? And that's a great question. That's probably a whole show. So to try to keep that somewhat succinct, my answer would be, first of all, order Dolores Cannon's book, The Custodians. This will answer your questions about a race that has been observing, helping, doing some genetic engineering on humans for thousands of years. And is it about preserving the integrity of Earth? Yes. We've been left to grow on our own with some reservations. And So I that's as close as I can come to the answer for that one. I would say it's twofold now. It's preserving the integrity of Earth, also making preparations in case we blow ourselves up so that the human seed will go on, actively creating other races, hybrided races from humans, which is not unusual. When you have a race like humans that carries the genetics of so many different races, we are so unique in the universe. There has been a big move not to lose the rare qualities that we hold. As humans, we tend to think of humans as a mess, but we have some marvelous qualities, one of which is our capacity to love.
Our emotional issue. Can I also mention something else?
Yes.
Which is that I was talking to Barbara Han Clow on the radio on the show on Tuesday.
Yes.
And she was talking about how, and we've heard this from many other people, including Lazarus, I believe, that the Earth is in quarantine. And what she spoke of is that because of the great cataclysms that have happened on Earth maybe 100,000 years ago or 11,500 years ago or whatever, that we have innate within us, and because of all the work that we've been doing with the shadow, I thought this was exceedingly relevant. Because of all the cataclysms, we have innate within us a huge amount of PTSD, great trauma.
Of what?
Of trauma.
Yes.
Post-trauma stress.
Yes.
And what she said is that is part, our way of working our way out of it is through this kind of violent, reactive nature, and that our quarantine is about the Universal Federation or whatever waiting till or helping us or however we accept it as coming through this into healing our inner pain and so on so that we can come together as a cohesive, peaceful group, and that we're still in process with that, and perhaps the relationship between the Mayan calendar and 2012 is us coming to terms with that kind of post-trauma stress. You understand what I mean?
Well, I think it's an interesting perspective, and I think it's one perspective, Veronica.
Well, it certainly is. One thing I liked about it is she asked, Squirrel asked about preserving the integrity of Earth, and I thought, well, in a way, that quarantine is a protection to let us, not only not let us out into the universe when we're still messed up, but actually to protect us so we can get through this amazing cellular journey that we're
okay.
on.
Okay, and I'll go on with that one a little bit further. We are definitely under quarantine. That's an absolute. I'm going to add this perspective to it. As a race, we are evolving in ways that really, considering how many times we've been messed with, and there has been genetic interference with us, we are all, pretty much all aware that our DNA has been changed. And that's the reason so many healers are focusing on opening DNA.
You mean changed by the interaction with various races like Assyrians and Pleiadians?
Yes, over time, yes. Now, we have gone further into the dark than any race has ever gone and come back into the light of our own volition, out of the amazing quality of who we are as beings. This is the emotional body that has driven us, this deep, incredible quality that humans carry. And, you know, I've talked about this on other shows, okay? They have talked about it in channelings. Very simply, if there is interference prior to us moving through into our breakthrough, if you want to call it that, it is going to set us back as a race. In other words, as a collective, we've said, no, please don't interfere. Let us do this. We know that we can. And by what we are doing, we are impacting other races as well. There was extraterrestrial help, if you will, with other races as they evolved, and there was too much help. So they didn't evolve as fast as they could on, or as much as they could on their own. When a race like ours evolves the way that we are evolving out of our sheer will and tenacity, that energy impacts the entire universe. That is a gift to the universe. So in fact, what we are doing here is hugely supported by an unbelievable number of races, and this is the reason that so many races are watching, observing, co-participating in some fashion. Each one of them has different kinds of agendas, but again, coming through in forms of channeling and very little direct intervention. So this we are a very unique race in that perspective. And, I would not argue with, Barbara in terms of anything that she said or her perspective of it. Because I think all of these ideas pretty much dovetail and fit together. I would never say that one's right and the other one's wrong.
No.
But
it's interesting, isn't it? Because quarantine.
It was an interesting perspective, I would agree.
And quarantine, from what you just said, is a two-way experience. It's a protection. It's a womb-like protection and also protection for the universe.
Well, we're at a very critical juncture if you think about the last 100 years. If it had been a free-for-all with different races coming in, we would have had a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And, there were some races that did try to come in and they were asked to leave. And
it was a mess like some 100,000 years ago, wasn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Her next question, why did the alien races trust our government to utilize alien technology, particularly when so many of us do not trust our government? Have the aliens approached other governments besides the U.S.? Have they approached the Illuminati?
Great questions, Coral.
These are great questions. So this is a three-part question, and I'm going to take it one part at a time. This is called protocol. And protocol, in working with all the races that I work with, everything is in protocol. Everything is set up with protocol. Portals are set up with protocol. I'm a big protocol person. I have this total understanding that you operate within a protocol, always, and with total respect, even for races that you find incredibly foreign or even uncomfortable, there is always protocol. We have a government. Therefore, protocol would deem that you would go to the controlling party or the government, and this is an elected government, okay? And that's the reason that the aliens went, and this, remember, they approached our government back in the 50s. And some even think the late 40s, but we'll say the early 50s, okay? And at a time when we had great respect for our government. when Eisenhower left office, in his final speech, he talked about the military-industrial complex, that could be the most dangerous thing in our country, which it has certainly become. And they are the ones that ended up controlling the information and the technologies. Have the aliens approached other governments beside the U.S.? The answer to that is yes. There have been several governments that have been contacted. Anytime a government starts playing around with nuclear weapons, there is always a contact made. I don't like to get into the whole government issue here on our show. That's not really what we're about here. I do have a lot of these answers, but I have to be careful how I phrase this. The reason I don't, it's certainly not because I'm wimpy, but the focus of this show is on empowerment and growth. And for each person listening, there are lots of theorists out there that can talk about all of the things that they know. A lot of it's garbage. Some of it's true. But it really has nothing to do with us. We don't want to be focusing on what we think is wrong. We need to create a new world. That's where our attention needs to be right now.
And feel the power to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Have they approached the Illuminati? There is one specific race, my understanding is, again, hearsay from my part only, okay? And it is, and I want to be careful here, there's a lot of misunderstanding with the reptilian races. We started to get into that on the show last week with Jim. There are six different, according to him, reptilian races, and we spent time talking about them. There is a rebel faction, if you will, of that race that supposedly is in contact with certain people whose agenda is to continue to have control. I really don't want to say more than that. Again, not a place where we want to put our focus. You know, are they going to bother you? No, not unless you're sitting on top of $100 million.
I don't think I am right now.
No. Okay. Do the aliens abduct humans from all parts of our world, and did Jim see people from other countries during his abductions?
Good question.
That was a great question. During our discussions, there was never any indication that he was there during abductions of people from other parts of the world. That never came up during our personal discussions. Our people, and now I'll base it on my work, are people in other parts of the world being abducted? Yes. Or detained is a better word. Again, if anybody wants to explore that a little further, Dr. John Mack, the last book he wrote before he died, which was kind of a compilation, it's a small book, it's out of print, but you can get it on his website. If you go to the John E. Mack Institute or you search that, you'll find it. It's called Passport to the Cosmos. John did a lot of work with people all over the world. Also, his video called Touched. You can also search that on the web. They went to, again, that was great people who did this documentary. They went to Brazil and interviewed abductees in Brazil, as well as therapists who were doing aggressive hypnosis. And so, yes, the answer to that is yes, they are. Her last question is, how can one be recall being abducted? And can we ask to be aware of our abductions, or are only a select few able to know? Another great question.
I'm just reading on. I'm laughing my head off.
I'm sorry?
I just keep going because it's so funny what she's done to attract that.
Okay. First of all, and those of you who have been listening to the show know that we have worked with people who've had abduction experiences or suspect that they have. In some cases, during a session, while I'm channeling, they will, you know, suggest to the person that we do a visitation aboard ship, and we basically backdoor the detainment or abduction experience. And when I say backdoor, it's not a matter of wanting to relive it, because there is no, you know, lots of people go to regressive hypnotherapists, can spend years in hypnotherapy going, reliving all of it, and going through the trauma. The reason that the experiences are screened is because they are traumatic. When you are face-to-face with another race, their frequency alone is traumatic. You can ask to have confirmation or have some idea if you've been abducted and ask for it to come through the dream state in some form. Having to recall all of it. What we found coming in the back door is that people over a period of a couple of months after having the session, fear seems to completely fall away. And so they aren't having to go back and relive them. We go to the time in childhood, somehow they seem to know pretty much when, at what age is the right time to come in the back door. They take them to childhood. I've said this before on the show. And back to their bed, and the body, Veronica, you've been through this, where the body actually responds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dealing with you as a child, and your body will start responding to the fact that you know they're coming. Anybody who is going through abduction experiences as a child, they know ahead of time that they're coming. And the body will physiologically respond. It will start tensing up, especially in the solar plexus. They then jump. Sometimes they'll wait for the light to come in the window and then immediately take them aboard ship to encounter, to see if they have hybrid children. There's a sequence of events that I really want to share tonight. I'm going to finish Squirrel's email, but this I got this off of a posting today, which does not surprise me. Anyway, let's finish. Squirrels, Squirrel, we love you. I've tried going to sleep wearing various types of hats, thinking that maybe that would indicate to the aliens that I'm more than willing to be abducted, and I'm okay with remembering the encounter. This isn't working so far, and I absolutely won't wear a uniform to bed, no matter how much that may be intriguing to the aliens. Apparently, what is faster than the speed of light is me instantaneously forgetting my abductions. I'm grateful that Jim has sparked in quotes an interest for me about the oneness of the universe and why we as a species need to become aware of our importance on Earth at this time. I wonder if we as humans change and co-create a new Earth, will that ultimately alter the behavior and physical appearance of the future alien races? The reptilians may like a laser skin resurfacing treatment or at least some exfoliation. And perhaps the grays are hoping to tone down the size of their heads, which will allow them to look better in hats. They may even want to be a bit taller, have a little more soul, and be able to have and eat a cheeseburger in paradise. Anything is possible. Great cheering. Squirrel, thank you again, as always. You're always fabulous. And before we turn you loose, and we can kind of go through this, and you know, in case you have questions or things you want to ask about it as well. This is called the sequence, and this was put together by several scientists and psychologists. I found it interesting because it's exactly when we do the back door thing. I was very fascinated that some of the sequence is so right on. It's called the sequence. Several scientists and psychologists have been categorizing all the accounts and trying to find patterns in the testimonies. Thomas Bullard discovered a consistent structural order to events within abduction reports. There are 8 types of events, and they are preferentially ordered in this manner. Capture, examination, conference, tour. Otherworldly journey, theophany, return, aftermath.
What's theophany? I don't remember what
unfortunately,
that
I have no idea.
I think it's about God, the spiritual event.
Right. That sounds right. We'll go with that. what's interesting is, you know, they kind of go on to talk about the fact that no abduction has every event, but events abductees are generally given a tour of the ship before examination or conference and so forth. You know, I find it really interesting because when we've done this with people, they have majority of them do experience a tour of the ship. If we get past the, you know, their encounter with their hybrid children, it's usually pretty emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the ship is consistently the way that they describe it here, which I was fascinated. You know, this is pretty much includes the basic stuff that, you know, we all know about, in terms of the examination with equipment, a round room and, you know, equipment that nobody can really describe because it's unlike anything. Although I have seen drawings of some of it, and I knew the equipment, which is no surprise to me. They talk about kind of the implants that often go into the nose, ear, eyelid, forehead, hand, or foot. And then a tour of the ship where they're shown a room which has alien hybrid fetuses growing in the liquid. Now, Veronica, you've been aboard ship and saw this, didn't you?
Oh, I sure did. And remember, I could actually smell, taste, and feel the liquid.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this was fascinating to me. Then another nursery room, which I've been in with other people, which contains alien hybrid children. And, of course, then they go on to say that sometimes the child is pointed out as being the abductee's offspring. Well, generally what we do is they come to kind of a waiting room. This is with every session. And there is a senior being there, generally female. And then the hybrid children are brought into the room if, in fact, they have them. And generally they don't overwhelm. If people have more than one or two, if the second time we go aboard ship, they may see more. We had one woman who went, "Are all those mine?" you know, they go on to talk about that a lot of people have, as a result of this, end up with a lot of problems. Drug abuse, alcoholism, overeating, promiscuity. And I've run into this so much with people who, again, because it's sitting in the shadow, and this is one of the reasons that I've really felt it was so important to bring this information through, that it's time for us to deal with it so that we're not dealing with the fear side of it.
So you're saying the people who have been abducted but don't know, they're the ones that end up in these really extreme situations?
Well, they can, and I've had a lot of, even my own son, who is an abductee, we sat one night and watched Dr. Mack's documentary, and my son was really shocked, as because these things tend to, you have the experience, but you go into a state of denial, and that's kind of programmed in.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that when my son watched this documentary, he remembered the light coming into the... He remembered so many things that people talked about on this documentary that it shocked him. And, you know, I have a family of star children, so, between my own and my grandchildren, you know, I'm waiting for somebody to grow antenna. So, Ronnie, I know, now, you know, getting back to tonight's title, and I want to really talk, first of all, if you want to ask questions, please do, Ronnie, about good guys and bad guys. This seems to be a big question that people are having.
I just want to ask one thing before we leave this subject, which is, when people go tumbling through that subconscious shadow reaction to such a deep trauma, it's kind of like people who have a near-death experience as well, isn't it? It is, actually.
Well, it would depend on how it's approached. If people are going through regressive hypnosis, okay,
mm-hmm.
and reliving the experiences, I would say absolutely. This is the reason that, I probably... and this is not to take away from anybody out there who's doing these kind of regressions, but and I'm not talking going into the somnolistic state, which is Dolores Cannon. I'm talking about, a typical regressive state. The translation of these experiences, my personal perspective, and I know Dolores agrees, is that in a typical regressive state, you're still in that translation state, and you're not able to bring through into the conscious state, even in a regression, the full impact of what really went on. And so you still got fear in there, and it's still coming through a translator, if you will. And so it's still getting muddled. And, yes, I would say it's very much like a near-death. I would not, you know, even I had a regression with Dolores, and my first conscious encounter with a ship, the terror, it made me ill to listen to the tape. The terror I had at trying to outrun the ship because I had my children in the car. Now, they did not take me physically. They took my light body. And so I was completely relaxed. But the fear was so great. It's the coldest I have ever physically been, even in a somnambulistic state. The fear going into the experience is very great. That stays real close in the subconscious. That's why it's easy to come in the back door, from my perspective.
Interesting.
You had other questions, Ronnie?
No, that was good. Thank you. I will have, Bill.
Okay. Again, and I've talked about this so many times, if you did not have an agreement with the grays to be, you're not going to be experiencing abductions, okay, or detainments. This is something that, and Ronnie, you and I, you know, kind of emailed back and forth on this, you know, kind of in a humorous way, that prior to coming into incarnation, you know, I'm sure they have a big PowerPoint presentation and, you know, a band and, you know, lots of food and, you know, trying to entice you into agreeing to participate, you know.
In the grand experiment.
Exactly. And so there is always a contract. Bashar has talked about this, you know, over years, people would go to see him, especially in the 90s, and they would ask about abduction experiences, and he would immediately consult the contractual list, if you will. And so, yes, I mean, this is, there are many of us that, you know, have participated in a joint endeavor, especially those that have come in to do a lot of things. You know, you've probably been detained and monitored for years without ever realizing it, helping to get you ready to do your great work. So it's no surprise if, you know, out of all the people listening tonight, the majority of you have had experiences. It would not surprise me at all. I certainly, when I started this work, did not expect to encounter that, but boy, have I learned since. Yes, there are a lot of people. How do you avoid a negative experience? And, you know, people have a tremendous amount of fear around the reptilian race or races. And, you know, I think a lot of this comes out of lack of information. Lazarus has talked about the fact that, you know, very, very early on there was some interference on our planet and it created a lot of resentment, and that's deep in the subconscious and unconscious. And, you know, so that's built into the system. We know that we have a limbic brain. Obviously, we are related in some context to the reptilians, you know.
But then we tend to be afraid of reptiles.
A good portion of people do.
Yeah. And that's the mythical brain holding it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, are there those that you, you know, wouldn't be terrified of and those that you might? Yes. Okay. Are you going to encounter somebody that's really scary? No. Okay. It may feel scary just because they look so strange. This is a whole problem with dealing with alien races, and I don't even like the word alien, with star races, okay? You know, I really believe that there has been a whole indoctrination occurring through the media just to get us used to the whole concept of the grays. Certainly we've seen it in advertising and movies, and Hollywood always participates at some level. There are certain directors and that are always kind of hooked in to, you know, encouraged to bring certain information through.
So I wonder what Spielberg's history with ETs is.
You're right.
it probably is real. I feel like he probably knows a lot.
When he got into the government issue, he did a whole series called Taken. And that came out on the Sci-Fi Channel. He did not bring it out through HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And it was somewhere between 7 and 12 segments, each one done by a different director.
Mm-hmm.
But because he hit the controversy button, he could not bring that out through traditional media.
Huh.
HBO would not carry it. He couldn't bring it through on a regular prime channel. So he had to come through on the Sci-Fi Channel, which I think is very interesting.
Did you see them?
I saw some of them. They were, even for me, a little scary.
Oh.
That series can be purchased on, you can order it through Amazon, new or used, or you can, you may be able to rent it, you know, through some of your primary video stores. There's a lot of, whoever did that, I mean, this is Spielberg, again, that series was loaded with a lot of information.
Mm.
And this is somebody who really knew what they were talking about. It definitely is the whole progression from the original encounters, how it ended up with the military-industrial complex, what really happened. I don't know how much of it has been sensationalized. Like I said, I didn't watch every one. But there's enough in there, you know, it's just I don't do gore, so. Now.
Inconvenient.
I'm sorry?
I said it's inconvenient.
Gore?
Yes.
I just don't allow violence in any form of violence.
I was making a joke about gore's inconvenient
truth. Inconvenient truth. I'm sorry, Veronica totally went over my head. I'm so singularly focused.
That's because you're short.
That's it. Okay, fear. And I want to give people a couple of pieces here. Command Central. If you are ever in a situation where you're in you feel uncomfortable that there may be something that doesn't belong around you, and you're not able to see, which generally speaking, they can make themselves totally invisible. Again, not to frighten you, but you know, because I work with races all the time, I'm so used to this, it's no big deal. You can always call on Command Central, and again, if this being does not belong here, please ask it to leave. Again, protocol. Not panicky Command Central, tell this thing to get the hell out of here. That will not work. You can call on your own guides. And ask from a spiritual perspective, you know, but again, fear is the enemy here. Bashar has said for years, people have gone up and asked about, you know, the negative races, etc. His answer is always the same. He will never go into any detail. His answer is simply, if you do not go into fear and do not go there, they cannot see you. You will be invisible. They contact people who are generally into fear, manipulation, drama, drugs, that kind of stuff, who are doing things that, you know, are in, they're playing in dark arenas already. And that's the only reason that they attract them. For those of you who ordered Jim's book, and I want to bring this up because I don't want to create fear for people again. There are references in his book to the fact that there were military people present during a lot of his abductions and scientists, that he was taken to what he thinks is Area 51, or he doesn't put names on things, but he was definitely in the Nevada desert in a building. And there were human scientists there, and they were using ET technology, but not nearly as sophisticated as what the ETs have. That does exist. I have no fear of ETs. I really don't want to deal with humans who are playing around with ET technology. That would be my only caveat. And again, if you're not already involved in this, I know I've had one person who, you know, actually had been out to what she felt was exactly the same place that Jim was in. She went underground, and in other words, there are still floors underneath from the hangar, and she was angry. Now, she's quite the explorer. This does not surprise me about her. You know, some of these experiences you don't really want to remember. You know, this is a situation where it's not going to really do you any good. You know, screening can be your great gift here. Do you have anything to fear? No, you don't. I will use this caution for all of you. There has never been a more important time than right now to be cautious about where you put your energy and where you spend your time with people. We're in an extremely accelerated time right now. And, you know, I've laughed about the fact that when I stopped drinking and, you know, the parties and I would get a hangover, and I've gotten very clear now, even though I wouldn't drink, that I can't participate in those kind of activities anymore. I don't have the luxury of being in situations where people are not super conscious at the moment. And, you know, I mean, it's fun and you miss it because everybody's having a good time. But, again, you know, we're all on a path right now. We all have made a choice to ascend, to accelerate our growth, to open as quick as we can. And so now is the time to really be conscious all the time. Platinum light, and there is nothing more powerful. Bringing in the platinum light before you go into any situation where you're going to be in a crowd of people. I do it every time I go to an airport. It's a very electric platinum. It actually sizzles, bringing in a spiral out of the universe around you, down to the heart of Earth, all the way back up around you again and back to its source. That is, without a doubt, the most powerful energy that I have ever worked with. Ronnie, you've got more questions. I know you do.
No, I'm just thinking about how I'm always talking about the violet flame and the white light and the red and the purple, and I'm like, okay.
Well, yes, and each one of those are powerful. When you're at this juncture going into crowd, this is crowd control. And, you know, I've had so many thank yous from people for working with that particular, the others are all very spiritual and very beautiful. The platinum is, it really kind of takes you outside of it. It shifts your dimension and frequency.
Great. I'm going to use that more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very powerful for anybody who's, you know, worked with it.
We said there's nothing to be afraid of, so there is no, if we're really strong and we're sending our platinum light and we're using protocol and commanding help from our guides and so on, there's nothing that can take us away from ourselves. Is that right? Well, you see what I'm saying is, like, you know.
You mean, I think your question is, when I go to sleep at night, do I have to worry about something coming in and doing something to me?
Yeah.
Is that your question?
Because we're talking about abductions all the time. It's like, okay, somebody takes me away. I don't need to be afraid if I can remain conscious.
If you are setting the tone for your experience,
mm-hmm.
okay, and if you are awake, you don't have to be afraid.
Okay.
And I think this is a really important, again, this is, I would say to everybody listening tonight, you know, if you're super sensitive, then be more discerning. Okay, watch who you're hanging out with. You know, if you have friends that are a mess and they're into high drama and they have all their stuff going on, those people are starting to fall out of people's situations and their lives now. you're already seeing the schism occurring. You're not attracted to those people any longer, and there's a reason for that, not because they're bad or wrong. It doesn't match your frequency and vibration.
Right.
And some of these people can carry garbage. And you don't want to be picking it up if you're super sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Setting, you know, I work with somebody in Florida who's an amazing being, and did a session on her one day, and she had a bunch of crap, and you know, we had to clear it out, and you know, all these attachments and this and that and the other thing, and she was so angry. You know, how the hell did this happen to her? And this was some astral stuff, and the astral plane's pretty active right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where a lot of these little cooties come from, attachments that people get. And disembodied spirits or entities or thought forms or whatever. And so, yeah, it's a matter of being really... And she got very clear after her session. She went out and set the frequencies on her property and, you know, set up her... You know, this is about really being conscious and being awake. You know, use your magic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, set up shields of light. Not out of fear. There is a difference.
So you're saying don't just let yourself attract whatever's there. Set up a really specific...
Absolutely, with total intent. You know, I've had people, many psychics, come into the healing room, and they're always fascinated that when you walk in there, the energy is so solid, okay? You're in another dimension, another frequency when you walk into the healing room anyway. And trust me, you're in another dimension. But the protocols are set so solid in that room, in that space. I don't even know if you'd call it a room, but it's so solid that when you walk in there, you don't worry about a thing. You know that this is the most, and it's not just, if you want to go extraterrestrial, it is also very spiritual. It is that space. You've set it with intent. When you do an altar, don't you set your intent for that altar,
mm-hmm,
and make it a sacred space? So, you know, I think, again, you know, and I said this to Jim Sparks. I said, you know, humans are magical. When they remember who they really are, they will never, ever have to worry about anything again. This is about remembering who we are.
So that's our course of evolution right now, isn't it?
It is our course of evolution. And we carry and hold huge secrets, huge things on this planet. Many, many years ago, again, I've talked about this before, Bashar dropped something into a talk he was doing. This was like 94, maybe 95. And people were asking about first contact and what would happen and so on. And he just let slip out one little piece. And it was about the fact that we hold things for them. We tend to look to others as being more than we are without realizing that we, in fact, are magical. We are amazing. We just don't remember we are.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've been stripped over time, DNA messed with, so on and so forth, we've forgotten who we really are. I've talked to people who have been one man specifically was in an abduction scenario. He... on the table was frozen and somehow made a flip. He sat straight up and he said, look, I'll cooperate with you, but no more freezing me, no more treating me like I am a lesser. And basically they said, this is what we've been waiting for.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I think that's a big piece.
Mm-hmm.
They were shocked that he did it. That he had the presence of mind to do it.
Mm.
This goes back to the last chapter in John Mack's book, Abduction, which came out in, I don't know, late 80s, I think. Kind of took the world by storm. And this woman was encountering, per her, a very angry reptilian being. And she had the presence of mind to flood it with love, and it immediately turned into a small gray and then into a tall Nordic humanoid.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you before we run out of time is tell me why certain ones encounter, why would a reptilian come to us and why one of the six, what, which ones would come and why and what is it they want from us? Do they, some of them just want to explore what we are as human beings. Some want to tutor us so that we will grow and become emotionally more enlightened.
Yes. The answer is yes. Okay. We carry reptilian genetics. And many of us are connected to reptilians, whether we want to admit that or not. Everybody's afraid to admit it for fear that they'll be thought of as something horrible. And they purposely stayed away so as not to frighten us. You know, when I encountered the council that Jim had met with, he didn't call it a council, but I did. I invited them. I was outside walking, and I invited them over several days. And I found them to be incredibly kind, very wise, very loving. I felt no sense of threat. They never came into the house.
And they were reptilian, all of them?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very, yes. And very, they made certain I didn't see their faces. They were very, you know, but their energies were wonderful.
But it's interesting that they've gotten such a bad rap. They've been the most, outside of the Greys, they've been the most...
maligned.
Pardon me?
The most maligned.
Yeah, well, also the most kind of commonly talked about. You know,
and
Queen
demonized.
Elizabeth is a reptilian, and who else is a reptilian, you know?
Well, you know, it's even entered our language.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, I've kind of heard it on different programs where somebody has been referred to, you know, as a reptilian mm-hmm. or even in sitcoms, and I found it very interesting that they, you know, this is part of our psychic, part of our subconscious belief system,
mm-hmm.
that if you're, this goes back to Adam and Eve and the snake.
Yeah, it's just interesting to me that it's the most, it's still one of the most talked about dangerous aspects right now. So,
well,
what?
It is our shadow. It is the part of us that we don't want to own. You know, years ago, it was very interesting. I was working with a very advanced soul. And he was doing some chakra work. And as he went into his chakras, he found a reptilian in his first chakra, which made perfect sense to me. And there were different beings in different chakras. And he made peace with this reptilian in his first chakra and got to know it. And, of course, this is our survival instinct, our basics, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's also our passion. So when we try to repress our shadow side, we also shut down our passion. The whole purpose of our embracing our shadow is to embrace all aspects of ourselves. And as we embrace all aspects of ourself, we're going to embrace all aspects of our heritage. It's just the way it is. And it may not, you know, be the most attractive to us, but hey, they don't exactly think we're gorgeous either.
So we're not necessarily related to all six types of reptilians.
Oh, absolutely not. But if you take the race as a whole, do we carry some of the genetics? Yes. We carry Syrian genetics. We carry reptilian. We carry Arcturian. We carry Palladian. We carry Orion, which, again, you know, a lot of that is, again, reptilian. But it's other races as well.
Mm-hmm.
And...
So each of us is quite a melange of all this, isn't it?
Yes,
right?
We are.
Okay.
Yes, we are. And to deny any part of ourselves and shove it back into the shadow, just like whether we're doing it, you know, Bashar's description, this is brilliant. And we're getting close, so I'll close with this one because I think this is brilliant. 94. He talked about the fact, now Bashar, for those that don't know that are listening tonight, Bashar is a future race, a hybrid race between the humans and the grays, genetically altered. They are beings of light. Their race is very beautiful. Okay?
And who altered them genetically?
I'm sorry?
Who altered them genetically?
The grays.
Okay.
And many races have been created out of our hybriding.
Hmm.
Future races. And someone asked Bashar, why are you here? And the answer was, well, we have nowhere else to be. We consider you our grandparents, you know.
We're the ancestors.
That's right. And so what he went on to say is that if you can think of the universe integrating itself in all of its races, just as we are integrating in our conscious, subconscious, and unconscious, all of the pieces and parts of ourselves, everything is in the process of reintegration. And that's what we're doing now, is reintegrating.
Hmm.
And remember, what you fear, you attract. That was the whole message that Bashar tried to give.
Hmm.
When you don't have fear with it, you can then deal with it. You know, I found that in inviting them, you know, to come and talk, you know, what do you want, why do you want it, etc. The main thing was about the amnesty. They felt this was very, very important in order to change the way that we as a race are dealing with the fact that we've been lied to by our government. You know, we're not going to get anywhere by, you know, pointing the finger at everybody. But the amnesty program would invite people to come forward with the technologies, and that is certainly what we want for our planet. In other words, it was a very, you know, coming from a point of negotiation of saying, here is the wisest thing to do.
So let's all of us step out of the shadow and learn what's really gone on.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. And you know, there are many people that are very angry at the Greys for the abduction experiences and wanting the Greys to stop it. And, you know, We're not going to stop something that's gone on for 4,000 years or more, and because we don't like it. So the goal is to come to a peace about it. You know, there are so many things. There are so many other races that, you know, it's endless. It's endless.
It's exciting.
It is. It's thrilling. And, you know, some of them are just a beam of light.
Hmm.
Many of them don't have form, and they take on form so that you can identify with something.
Hmm.
Just as Lazarus did. Lazarus has no form. Lazarus has never been human.
Hmm.
So Lazarus said, okay, you need something to identify. Here I am, a ball of light. Okay. Which is how he's depicted on all of his tapes, you know, because humans need something to cling to.
Hmm.
And many of the races that, at least I can speak for myself, that I work, and I think you as well, Ronnie, they're of such a high frequency that to drop down into third density, it would be unbelievably painful for them.
Hmm.
They're waiting for us to raise our frequency up to theirs instead of them trying to drop their frequency down to ours.
Hmm. That makes sense. That
Sorry?
Makes a lot of, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And that's the reason that we have these encounters. I have so many people say, well, I want to see, I want to see, I want to see. You'll see. Heal. The more you heal, the faster you raise in frequency.
And then you see the higher frequencies.
That's exactly right.
Right on.
And that's why in the dream state, where you can enter those places without any problem, you know,
we can travel.
We can travel. We can see. We can encounter. We can remember. A lot of times people in meditation have had experiences with ETs dropping in, very unique-looking ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I always giggle when somebody will say to me, well, what race was that? And I'm like, well, just a minute. Let me get my Rolodex out, you know.
Well, you sent me some wonderful pictures recently that I loved, that some on your website, but also another woman's website.
Yes, and I have a lot of hers on my website. They're all supposed to be on there, but I don't think they all are. And I got permission from her, and they're fabulous.
They're beautiful. Also, the one I saw very, very clearly doesn't look like any of them, so I'll learn to sketch and send it to you.
Please do.
It's 9 o'clock, Jackie. I think you're going to hook us off stage.
All right. Good night, everyone. Veronica's website, Veronica Entwistle, no T, or no H, no H. Sorry, Veronica.
That's okay.
And her show, she had on Barbara Hand Cloud Tuesday,
yep.
So tune in. Ronnie, you're doing great shows Tuesday at 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exciting. You're doing 2 hours now.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of them's an interview, but I haven't gotten confirmed my next week's interview yet.
Well, I know you're doing great work, Ronnie. And
thank you.
Again, a piece of all of you is in us, and a piece of us is in all of you. We love you so much. We can't hardly wait to be back next Thursday with you again, and we love you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Jackie.
Good night, Ronnie.